The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Good morning, Jefferson, North State, California. Everybody's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. We're getting a little bit of liquid gold out there today, so we're gonna take it and use it the best way we can. I'm flying solo today. Terry is off, still on assignment, still in the Northeast somewhere, checking out the fall colors. So wish him and Sally safe travels as they cruise around the eastern part of our country and try to stay away from Washington, D.C., and don't get infected with that BS. So, anyway, I'm here with some pretty good friends here. I've got Katie Gorman. She's going to be my co-host this morning. And we have...
Good morning.
How you doing, Katie?
Good.
Good, good. And we have a special guest and her husband. Same steel that Terry said last time. Lori, how you doing?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you.
Good, good. And Patrick Jones, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good, good. So what do we have going on here at the Board of Supervisors fairly soon? What's happening?
Well, we've had an interesting month. We've had a great year. We've gotten a lot accomplished, so I'm pretty proud of what we've been able to accomplish this year. And we still have a couple more months to go to finish it up. But there is an important issue, obviously, for me on next Tuesday, which is coming up just in a few days. And this is a night meeting, so it starts at 5:30. I encourage people to show up at 5 or maybe slightly before to get a seat. And so the range project, the High Plains Shooting Sports Center that I have been working on for 13, 14 years, is on the agenda for approval for the zone change. And it passed the Planning Commission not long ago unanimously. And it did come to the board, say, a month and a half ago. But right before... the item came before the board for a vote, and I will have to recuse myself, of course. An attorney had written a letter with a couple concerns that we did need to address, and so we had to postpone it. Well, that same attorney has done the same thing. He has...
Again.
And they always do it, like, on the Friday before, so we will address those things. And but I do believe this time it will be able to move forward for... Tuesday night, a night meeting, and allow for lots of public comment, and people can come out and voice their support or opposition. And so that's what's coming up on Tuesday. And for the public, you know, even though I bought this piece of property specifically for the purpose of a gun range, and in 2010, I've been working on getting a quality range for Shasta County for over 30 years. In fact, it's actually been closer to 42 years. So I worked with the Redding Gun Club back in the late 1970s to try to replace their facility that the city ultimately destroyed. I worked with both the city of Redding, the county of Shasta, BLM to purchase land on Walker Mine Road, only for that to be stalled. I worked again with the Redding Gun Club to try to find a location. I was past president of the Redding Gun Club. That never went forward with the particular board, and that works on behalf of the board. And whatever the board decides is the direction that it goes, much like our board.
Right.
And so I made the decision somewhere around 2007 or 8 that I would just simply do this on my own and pay all the fees, pay the price, purchase land, do all the requirements to be able to have a properly permitted, safe range for the public that could stand for generations. And that's what I've done, and I've done that all on my own. So it's been quite an endeavor, and we're now finally to the point where the board has the final say on it.
Okay, so it passed 5-0 with the planning department or planning commission. Right?
There was a few people that did have to recuse themselves because they had a personal interest in it. Like one person, for example, Steve, who is my biologist, and so he had to recuse himself. But it passed on a 3-0 unanimous. And so we have done on the range project besides paying the zone change application with the county is like $12,000. Then you have a whole series of things that you need to address. Mm-hmm. And for example, protection of the environment, protection of all the water features, having the Army Corps of approval and having the 404 permit, which I have. And I had to satisfy, I had to do water and pre-water delineation. And to be able to get the Army Corps of approval on a shooting range in the state of California is near impossible. And people had told me that before I started this project, that it would probably not happen. Well, that was successful, and they did agree, and they have issued the permit for me to build a range because we preserved the environment. And the other thing people should know about me, for over 20 years I've been volunteering and raising funds for hunter conservation organizations who are very much concerned about the environment for wildlife and wildlife protections. And we've raised lots of money and put that money on the ground. And this will be a wildlife preserve as well. And keep in mind that we're going to preserve 90% of 152 acres. 90% is going to be exactly the way that it is today. Wildlife will be able to come and go and move along the Bear Creek corridor without any interruption.
Okay, so essentially anywhere from 12 to 15 acres of development is what's going to happen, where you're going to make things work for the shooting range itself.
Yeah, and basically, we're going to be building very tall berms, 20, 25 tall foot berms that will stop bullets from moving off the property.
Okay.
And they'll be reseeded with the same seeds that are on the property because there are wildflowers and various things that are there in their natural state. And so that'll all continue to be there.
Okay. Now, how long do these permits go for? I mean, do they expire? So would you have to start over?
Yeah,
some of these
the Army Corps permit does have an expiration. It's coming due soon, so this is timely.
Okay.
And it's taken a bit of time, many years to get all this stuff done: an acoustic study, a traffic study, Indian artifact study, oak preservation study, AB 32 greenhouse gas emissions study, fire prevention study. I mean, there is a long list of studies that I've had to perform, and I've paid for them all myself, so this wasn't on the county or it wasn't from some grant. I did these things all on my own, and so I had to do one and then one after the other, and then as soon as I get that one paid for, I would do another. And so it's roughly around $150,000 worth of studies to be able to show that what we're going to do is going to work on the property and work with the adjacent property owners. And so that did take some time, but we're still within the timeline. And, the traffic hasn't changed. And, for the road coming in, for example, it's a half-mile road. That is dirt right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty rough dirt road. That will be paved, so we'll keep the particulate matter down. We'll have a fire prevention policy and standards. We'll have water tanks that have direct water all the time for fire prevention. We'll be using state-of-the-art practices on the range that meet the highest standards. And most ranges in this area and most ranges in the state and most ranges in the country have used no standards whatsoever. And if you think back 50 or 100 years ago when we did a shooting range, we'd put up a berm and we'd start shooting without any thought about the environment and what would happen with particulate matter and how it might travel off-site.
Okay.
And I just never thought about that. But as the years and the decades pass, in some parts of the country, it has become a serious issue with particulate matter leaving the property and affecting other property owners, and a large cleanup would have to occur. Now, we're lucky in Shasta County on a couple reasons. One, we don't have extremely high rainfall, and so that helps minimize particulate matter. We also have a pH formula in the soil that is such that it doesn't help migration, so particulate matter tends to stay put much longer. And we don't have an acid rain issue like some parts of the country that also breaks down particulate matter and makes it migrate as well. So with those things in mind, the Redding Gun Club and the Record Range, which is existing today, and they're still both operating. Those are two ranges. Now the Record Range is a law enforcement range, and then the Redding Gun Club has very limited hours, but it is open to the public.
Now, Record Range, that's over on the west side?
That's west side by Mary Lake. It's okay. Right by the Mary Lake subdivision, and I mean...
So it's in the neighborhood.
It is. It touches the Mary Lake and
subdivision.
And to give you an idea of how close homes are in that area, the city over the years has allowed building permits to be built right up to the city county line. The range is within 0.2 of 1 mile from homes.
Wow.
0.2 of 1 mile. And Highway 299 is 0.65 of a mile. So a little over a half mile away is Highway 299. Now, they have been operating there for over 50 years without any movement of particulate matter off the property to anything that would violate state laws. And it has been recently tested, and they have been making some minor improvements here recently. They did, I think the Shasta County Sheriff's Office no longer shoots there, but most of the other agencies in the county do shoot there. So there's a lot of shooting that has gone on there for 50 years, and they have not spoiled the environment without great mitigations, in fact, like what we're going to be doing at the High Plains Shooting Sports Complex.
So where else would law enforcement shoot if not there at the Redding Gun Range out?
Yeah, so to my knowledge, I mean, the Highway Patrol shoots there, RPD shoots there, most of the agencies shoot there. It has been told to me by our past sheriff that the Shasta County Sheriff's Department does not shoot there. They shoot at a discreet, unknown location. I do not know where that is.
So, well, then how are they taking care of business with doing that?
Well, that's an interesting question. One would have to ask the sheriff on that. So that's
interesting.
That would be a question for the elected sheriff.
Okay. All right.
But my goal here not only is to have a successful range for the public, but also I'm building a portion of this range for law enforcement.
Oh, okay.
And we will use those high standards there as well. And my goal here is to not shut down any other ranges. We have very few. Some folks in the community think that we have a lot of shooting ranges out there. We do not.
Right.
We have very few. And the Redding Gun Club is really the only outdoor range here that's somewhat structured. And they have very limited days of operation. And they're on an unsigned lease. So their future is very uncertain. And I've been past president of the club. It's an old club, and I really love the Redding Gun Club, and I hope that they can stay for as long as they can. But when you have an unsigned lease, your future is up in the air.
Yeah.
And that was the motivation for me to try to improve that so that we own the property, we can control that property, we have ownership in it, so you take pride in it, mm-hmm. And you maintain it, and you build it up. I don't ever plan on actually making any money with this range. People said it's you know, there's a big money maker for me. Well, I would really like that. the reality is ranges don't make money. And the cost of the land, the environmental work that we'll continue to do every year, the building of the range up with facilities and parking and so forth, mm-hmm. and trap and the maintenance and labor, you're not going to make any money. And the reason we know that is because any developer would have already done many if there was an ability to make money.
So then why do it if it's not going to be a moneymaker?
So for me, I'm not a developer.
Right.
I am a lifelong hunter and shooter, and to me it's very important for the next generation to be able to experience the same things I did here in Shasta County. And it's super important to have a quality, safe range for the next generations. And that's why I'm taking the time and my own personal money to be able to do this. And it's not going to benefit me so much as it will benefit the next generation. And I see this range lasting a very long time, keeping it up, keeping it maintained, and allowing the public to shoot safely, enjoy shooting sports, and really hone their craft. I do believe when you have a quality shooting range, you're going to have quality shooters. And I believe we have potential for state champions, Olympic champions. All of that is a potential when you have a quality place for people to shoot that has routine hours, and it can be done in a great environment. And I think that's what I'm attempting to do. When I first looked at this particular piece of property, I was looking off of Dersh, up and down Dersh, and you know, it it's hard finding the perfect piece of property, and I do believe this is as perfect as I could find.
Okay. Hey, Patrick, we've got a caller. Hey, Dick, are you there?
Patrick, hey, I want to talk to Patrick.
Go ahead, talk to Patrick.
I'm here, Dick. Thank you.
Hey, from what I understand, years ago there was a gun range and it was wiped out when they put Buenaventura in. Either the city or the county had promised to build a range somewhere else. Now, is there a statute of limitations on promises?
Well, I was there, Dick, and I was very involved in that in those years. And the city, this was a lease with the city, much like the rodeo grounds today is that, or has a lease. At that time, we asked for an extension, very much like what the rodeo grounds is asking today. The city of Redding denied our extension all through the early part of the 1980s, and eventually in 1986 evicted the members of the Redding Gun Club from the Benton Drive location and demolished all of our structures, which were several buildings, ranges, and all of our stuff that we had created for over 50 years. They did then promise that they would help relocate us. And, in fact, city's policy is that if they dislocate a recreational facility, that they have to replace it in its entirety. They made one attempt to do so and failed, and then it just simply fell on deaf ears. Fast forward a few years into the late 90s, it then became a city-county joint project, which I was involved in that as well. And then eventually they just gave it to me and said, you're the only one pushing it. And so I attempted to buy 250 acres of property from BLM off the Walker Mine Road site, and we raised the money again. This wasn't the first time we'd raised money, only at the last second for BLM to pull out. So the city of Redding does owe us a shooting range, but promises made are not necessarily promises kept. And I can no longer wait on the city of Redding, and I certainly tried. I was there for 8 years as an elected official with no success, but I am having success doing it on my own. And so I promised the public that I would get this done one way or the other, and I'm almost there.
Yeah, so the city thinks that they don't owe anything now because people forgot about it, or the people who are now in the city council are not in favor of it, so the promises just disappeared. Is that it? Don't they owe you some cash? Somehow, some funds to be put in there?
Yeah, no, I agree, you know, because obviously the people that were on council in those years are different than the people that are on council today, so they don't see a strong relationship there. However, the fact still remains that when the city of Redding dislocates a recreational facility, they have to replace it in its entirety. The Redding Rodeo Ground should remember that fact before they go anywhere.
Mm, there you go. Mm.
Are you going to be in the store tomorrow, Patrick?
Yes, I will be. 1600 East Cypress, 9 to 5, unless I'm in a county meeting.
I'm going to bring in something that I have to give to you. It's going to be for the fundraiser for the California Rifle Pistol Association. You know, it's going to be an event on the Thursday, the 9th of November at the VFW.
Yeah, and you're correct. Yeah, and in fact, me and Supervisor Kelstrom are going to be there. We're going to be helping out the CRPA, and I appreciate you, Dick, all the years helping on all kinds of variety of issues with us, particularly the Second Amendment, helping wherever you can. You have a long history of that, and I want to thank you personally for all that you've done.
You're welcome, and I bought a 900-foot piece of your fence, too.
You did, yep. He helped buy me some fence, and I can tell you, I hate fencing, doggone it. But we're getting pretty good at it.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you, Dick.
I've been even doing the fencing on my own, putting the posts in the ground, stretching wire. Me and my wife Lori, we
ground has got to be rock hard.
Yeah, it's interesting property. It's either mud or concrete, depending on the time of year, and
no in between. Huh?
You know, when some people look at a piece of property, you look at it one way, and then to an environmentalist, we look at it at a different way. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty passionate about trying to preserve that property and keep it as natural as possible. And that's important to me because I do care about wildlife greatly, all types of wildlife, and the proper management of wildlife. Now, my neighbor, Frank, to the south, While he's a farmer, and I like farmers, but he tills his property. He has a similar size, 160, and he tills that every year. And while to the public it doesn't seem like a big deal, but it has destroyed all the natural properties that that land once had. Mm-hmm. And we do need cattle, so I'm not opposed to having some farming, but there is a difference from preserving a piece of property and farming a piece of property. They're mm-hmm. very different.
Oh, yeah, you're going to take care of it either way, depending on what your specific need is going to be.
And on Tuesday, I hope that it comes up. There's a few very outspoken people with this project. One person, a neighboring landowner directly to the east of me, a very interesting gentleman. His name is Dwight, by the way, and he has a very large illegal marijuana grow on his property. To the north of me is another large illegal grow, and then to the west of me is a large illegal marijuana grow, all hidden from the public view due to the topography of the land. However, Google Earth is an amazing thing, and if you get a chance to take a look at the far corner of Millville Plains, you will, and look closely, you will see some of the activity that's been on the nearby adjacent property owners. And
well, you can see it when you fly over it, too.
You can see it easily.
I know that for a fact.
In fact, years ago, when actually it was just after 2008, when Obama said they're not going to enforce laws with regarding marijuana, you know, federally, that's when we started seeing the uptick. And I'd taken a ride in a helicopter with Dave over at Air Shasta, mm-hmm. and as we're flying, he's going, "Hey, there's a garden." And I'm looking down, and I don't know what he means by a garden, you know. And then we fly another minute, and he goes, "Hey, there's another garden." And I'm thinking, boy, Dave's really into gardening. And we go another minute, and he goes, "There's another garden." And I'm thinking, okay, there's something's got to be up here. And I look down, and there I see marijuana.
Yeah.
And he'd been working with the sheriff's department doing some aerial, you know, stuff. And I never had known that, right? I mean, you don't see it from the ground,
right.
But from the air, it was
obvious.
Very obvious. And
yeah.
Now it is these large hoop houses,
mm-hmm.
Two, three, four hoop houses on a variety of different properties. And if you take a look from literally from Millville Plains Road all the way up to where A-17 reaches 44, you are going to see a dozen large illegal marijuana grows. Shasta County right now only allows you to grow 6 plants indoors,
mm-hmm.
Not 3,000.
So then, don't we have a department within the county that's supposed to take care of stuff like that?
We do. In fact, I made the motion not long ago to reinstate the marijuana eradication team, and they are out there now doing just that. And I know they've done lots of eradications, but it's so widespread.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone out there, if it's a concern to you due to the environmental damage that's being created, you can file a complaint. And start with code enforcement. They will call the property owner and start that process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage anyone, if they feel that there is some issues in their areas, because it could be affect your health and mm-hmm. wildlife's health. Some of these people really do not care about the environment. And that's the most concerning thing when you see some of these operations.
Especially when it leaches down into the waterways and so forth. And not only does it affect the property that they're on, but then it goes downstream depending on where the water goes. And a lot of that water out there ends up in the Sacramento River.
The High Plains Shooting Sports Center that's proposed for next Tuesday, and again, if you show up at 5, the meeting will start at 5:30. We do have one presentation, and then we'll get right into public comment. And I'm the applicant, so I will play a small video. And we are having some technical difficulties at the county with our projector, and so I think we'll have a TV there, some sort of large TV, to be able to see the video. I've taken some drone footage. So people can see the property a little bit better. We're not trying to hide anything. In fact, this is going to be a very high-profile operation from the start and through construction. We're going to really preserve the environment, and we're going to do things very openly. Again, this is something that is going to last for generations. We want to do it right from the start, and we've taken out all the applicable permits to do so. It's been tens and tens of thousands of dollars to do all these things to make sure that we protect the environment. It's important to me to do that. And I didn't rush anything. We're trying.
Clearly, 13, 14 years.
I wished it could have gone faster, to be honest. No one wants that length of time. And when I started this project, did I know it would take that long? No. I figured it would take a few years. But just getting through Army Corps of Engineers alone took 5 years.
Wow.
And most people actually consider that to be fairly fast.
Really?
And most people can't get through them when they have jurisdiction. And so generally speaking, in this area, if water falls out of the sky and it drains or puddles, that is the jurisdiction of the Army Corps of Engineers. So navigable waterways were once the standard, but it's far greater than that now. And so
you have raindrops landing on your property. The government has jurisdiction.
The Army Corps of Engineers will most likely, if it falls within their jurisdiction, within their boundaries, there is a map. They don't cover the entire United States, but they cover large sections in the west part of the United States. Now, there has been a large EPA Supreme Court decision that has pulled back on some of these, saying there's an overreach, and that may help property owners going forward.
Wow.
Time will tell.
That's amazing that the government thinks that they have jurisdiction over private property.
Again,
it doesn't surprise me, and I know that
you have not talked to our resource management director very often.
That's another thing. Okay, we're going to go off to our break here real quick, and we'll come back and we'll finish talking about some more of the good stuff that Patrick's working on. Time has come for 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Tolkien's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as hosts Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Tolkien's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday, November 10th, at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March On of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more. Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th Birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
Explore the wonder and science of wintry landscapes at Turtle Bay's newest museum exhibition, Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact, on display September 16th through December 31st at Turtle Bay Museum. This exhibit dives deep into the environment, culture, adaptations, and sciences, all about snow as a valuable resource. Great for all ages. Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact is presented by Carolina Giramonti in memory of Nick L. and Claudia Giramonti. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Yeah, we're not going to back down, by golly. All right, speaking of not backing down, okay, what more do you have here, Patrick?
So you know, anytime there's a project, and say people do not like a project, they typically like to start by saying, you're going to kill my goldfish, my dogs are going to be affected, they're going to run away. And so anytime someone makes an accusation, you have to address it typically.
So
I've been attempting to address all those issues that anyone has had. Now, lately, there was a flyer sent out in the Millville area showing that from where we shoot near Dersh, that the trajectory of a typical bullet, if shot over a very high background at the proper and optimal angle, would launch and hit all the way the town of Millville, some five and a half miles away, and put people in jeopardy. And so that is what they've said. And then they've stated some ballistic charts off of the military and some of the other charts. And they're using, what they're using for that type of distance is the 50 BMG trajectory, which is 7,000 yards. And so if people don't know the history of 50 BMGs, first, there are very few of them in California. They were banned for sale in 2004. And so I personally, and of course I'm a firearm dealer, and we don't get to sell 50 BMGs. There are some other calibers that are similarly powerful, and I haven't sold any in a decade. They're not that used. And we're not going to allow those types of very large calibers at the High Plains Shooting Sports Center. Most cartridges, like a 30-06, very powerful, will go about 2.7 miles away at the optimum angle if it happened to be shot purposely over the background, because these are very tall, state-of-the-art backgrounds at 20 and 25 feet tall. And from where we're shooting to where Highway 44 is 3.1 miles. So even at that, a typical 308 or 30-06 would not reach Highway 44, let alone beyond Highway 44, which is what this article is saying, or this leaflet is saying, that, and they're, again, they're using the 50 BMG standards to do so. Now, there's not too many people that know more about 50 BMGs than I do. I've built lots of them, and through the 90s and into the early 2000s, I've probably built 20 high-powered McMillan Big Mac 50 BMGs, 50-10s, 416s, and anything else that I could build. And we have tested those, and I had did all those testings at the Reading Gun Club. And we did the initial tests with those there. And, in fact, including in the staff report, I put pictures of myself testing a few different guns, like the McMillan and the Barrett, in 2002. Now, at the Reading Gun Club, from where I tested those firearms and those 50 BMGs, Deschutes Road is 0.5, a half mile away. And no incidences. And so they've had no trouble. Yet I'm 3.1 miles away from Highway 44, a much further distance. The record range is 0.65 from Highway 299. You know, and so at the Reading Gun Club, I tested lots of 50 BMGs for many years with no incidents of trouble. And I personally did that, and I have photographs that show that and prove that. And in those years, they were somewhat popular. Now they no longer are. Now there's certainly calibers that shoot the kind of distances that people like to shoot, 300, 400, 500, 600 yards, that are much smaller, that are a lot easier to shoot. 50 BMGs are not easy to shoot. They're expensive, they're heavy, and soon people found out that they're more novelty, and so that has all faded away.
So is there a particular gun that you use for those, or is there a specialized gun, I guess?
Yeah, and so we're always developing. The industry for, you know, the last 200 years has constantly developed new cartridges that are superior in ballistic coefficient, meaning they fly better, that are easier to shoot, less expensive to manufacture and to load, because most people will load their own for this type of high-performance shooting. And the 50 BMG was a novelty, you know, going back more than a decade, and they were banned in California. And you just don't see them shot, nor will they be shot at this range. So for people to say that I'm going to put people in danger, people that specifically live in Millville, well, the statistics show that they weren't in danger at the Reading Gun Club or at Mary Lake. And those ranges have a 50-year history and much closer to major roads and much closer to people. And, again, at record range, the closest homes, and we're not talking one or two, we're talking dozens of homes at two-tenths of a mile away.
So the the likelihood, if anything was going to happen, it would have happened.
It would have already happened there. And yeah. When you see the video played on Tuesday with this range, you're going to see very, very light housing. In fact, there are really only two homes anywhere in the close vicinity, and they're far apart.
Well, when you say close, what does that mean? What are you
talking about? A half mile away, one in the opposite direction, one in a different direction than one we're firing, and 40 feet of dirt in between. So you can't see the structure at all from where we're going to be firing. And so really it's a very unique piece of property. You couldn't find a more suited piece of property for shooting range that isn't out, you know, in Modoc County.
Right.
We're trying to do something where the public can still be able to use it that's still somewhat close to town. And it's why when I originally started looking for this piece of property back in 2008 and 2009, the county asked me to look east and specifically off of Dersh. And I put 6,000 miles on my truck running up and down Dersh looking for different pieces of property and trying to put offers in. In those years, Rich Morgan was purchasing property, and so almost every piece for quite a while he was purchasing to add to build back his range. Okay. And eventually, once he was completed in that, then a few pieces became available, and then I was lucky on this particular piece of property to find one so well suited for the purpose of a range.
Well, the topography means everything.
It does.
I mean, so if it's flat, if it's got valleys in it, or if it's all rock, whatever, that's huge. It makes a big difference in what you can do with it.
And so if anyone is interested in a range, I encourage you to come out to 1450 Court Street, and it's mm-hmm. a night meeting, so that'll be next Tuesday. I encourage you to get there at 5 o'clock, and you can speak your piece. We used to shoot a lot of different places in Shasta County. We used to shoot behind the dam. There was quite a place there to shoot. They shut that down. We used to shoot up and down Clear Creek Road. They shut that down. We used to shoot on Swayze. They shut that down. We used to shoot on Walker Mine Road. They've shut that down. We only today have a designated BLM shooting area off of Iron Mountain Road, mm-hmm. and it's very limited, and there's no structure.
Right.
And it's not properly well suited to the environment, meaning they've done nothing, and it's been there for quite some time. And so we're very
who's lucky. Responsible for that?
So that is BLM, and
they don't even clean, you know, and maintain
I would argue that BLM obviously is not doing what the public wants them to do. BLM is designed, right. What their orders are is to manage lands for what the public is using them for. And so if people are riding horses, then you do some equestrian management. If there's a trail and people are hiking, then you manage a hiking trail.
Right.
In this particular case, people shoot there, and they need to manage it appropriately, mm-hmm. and they have failed to do so. In fact, it's gotten to a point because they failed to manage it and maintain it, that several fires have started there and have threatened the city of Redding and elsewhere because of their poor management. All those things will be addressed at the High Plains Shooting Sports
Center. Well, I know when we've gone out, my family and I have gone out there a couple times, we picked up garbage. I mean, because there's garbage. I mean, you don't reach down, pick it up with your hand, but we collect it and get it out of there because you have to. I mean, it looks horrible, and it's setting a tone for what you're doing out there.
Yeah, my brother shoots out there. He has a permit, and he takes classes out there, mm-hmm. and routinely he picks up literally a dumpster full of garbage, trying to keep it clean from people not maintaining it. And, you know, we ask people to maintain these places because we don't want any of them shut down.
Right.
We have very few left now, and they all need to stay open. With my range, I'm not trying to shut anyone down. In fact, just the opposite.
Right.
I want to maintain everyone. I want to ease, in fact, you know, specifically with Mary Lake, if I am successful and can have some law enforcement agencies come over, it will reduce the amount of shooting at Mary Lake and kind of help that neighborhood. There's certainly been some complaint with noise because they're so close to homes there.
Right.
They're very close. And so they do get a little bit of complaint. We can ease that. Now, they've done a pretty good job at Mary Lake for trying to shoot in times that are less problematic with the neighboring homes, and they've worked on that, and they've done better. recently than they have in the past. But we can help that as well. And at the shooting center, we're going to really encourage youth sports. Okay. And try to make them as cheap or, if not, free for the next generation. And that's trap, skeet, sporting clays, handgun, rifle. We're going to try to do programs where they're going to be sponsored so these youngsters coming up can shoot for free.
Oh, that's awesome.
And really encourage that. And right now, shooting is getting more and more expensive.
Right.
You know, 20 years ago, what a massive difference. I was a tournament shooter. I would shoot somewhere around 25,000 rounds a year to keep my skills up, to try to be competitive. And I could afford to do that. Today, I don't know if I could afford to do that. It's so expensive.
Wow.
And you have to shoot a lot to get good. That's just the way anything is. If you're going to be a good race car driver,
you
got to drive a lot.
Yeah.
And so, that's my goal, is to be able to energize, work with the high schools, work with 4-H, work with the Boy Scouts, work with any group that wants, help, to get these kids back into shooting sports. And
I know that we've had, over the past couple of years, we've had some teams at different schools.
Yes.
Are they still active? Do we still have those?
They are. They struggle with ammunition and costs.
Okay.
So there is some of it. And when things are costly and difficult, they'll eventually go away.
Right.
And that's
right.
Where we have to make it easy. When you make it easy and make the opportunity there, people will show up.
Well, and I'm sure that you've probably got a long list of potential donors that would be happy to help out with that encourage them.
Yeah, I'm going to hit up McConnell Foundation and see if they would help out a little bit.
Good luck on that one.
But no, we do have actually, I've asked McConnell before with no help, but that's a different story. There actually are a lot of people out there that are very much interested, and some of these folks have done very well in their businesses, and they are willing to donate. And we're all concerned with the direction of shooting sports in the United States, hunters and hunter conservation, and there are some very generous people.
Okay. Hey, we've got another caller in. Hey, Wendy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Wayne. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Yeah, as a female CCW holder, you guys were speaking about the Iron Mountain shooting range, and we had an incident when we were practicing for a CCW that we communicated to the other shooters in the area we were at, and even though we communicated and said we were going downrange to change targets, I was thankful and grateful that Gary was watching my back, because some guy just started getting ready to shoot, you know. And so teaching the girls to shoot, and I worry about their safety, taking them out there, because there is, like, so we're excited about Patrick's range, because there will be safety and a range safety officer out there at all times, and I feel a lot safer being able to go out to that range as opposed to Iron Mountain. So,
yeah, Wendy, I thank you for the comment. And Iron Mountain Range, the problem with that, just like you said, is where, you know, half the people or more than half the people are very conscious around safety. Clearly, there are people that are not. And when you're going downrange and you're asking people to cease fire, step away from the firearms, and you're going downrange, and then they start firing, mm-hmm. and they think it's a safe distance, but it's not, I'm very concerned that something will happen there, because we don't have a controlled environment. And part of the problem there isn't that people are just ignorant. They just don't know the shooting etiquette that should happen. And when you have a structured range, that's the first and foremost thing. Everybody goes through safety orientation. I don't care if you're a good shooter or not, but you have to be safe. And that's something that's lacking at Iron Mountain. I still like having it, because it's better than nothing.
Right.
But at the same time, we need more structure.
Yeah. And in addition, I just wanted to also put a plug that we are in escrow just a short distance away from your gun range. And we're super excited about that, too. It'll be easy for us to get to. So we're purchasing a house right off of Dersh, and super excited that we're going to be neighbors to the gun range as well.
Awesome. Well, we thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you, Wendy.
Actually, I'm familiar with the area pretty well, and there are actually a lot of people like Wendy, Wendy's neighbors, that are actually appreciative of a range, a formal range where you can shoot safely. Now, keep in mind, most of these people out on Dersh, they already shoot on their property now.
Neighbors do?
Oh, sure. Most of these properties are pretty big, and they can shoot safely on their property under county rules. That's quite acceptable. As long as you shoot safely, you can do that.
Well, there you go.
And but by having a formal place with good infrastructure, most people don't have quality trap and skeet range set up in their backyard.
Right.
And here we'll be able to have that, and we'll be able to have tournaments and competitions to challenge your skills, things that are needed. And I really see, we'll have a pretty good sized building there. We may be able to do all kinds of fun events in this place. Anything associated with firearms or the Second Amendment could be done here and practically free.
Now, are you going to have indoor shooting ranges too?
No. All outdoor.
All outdoor. Okay. Did you have something else, Wendy?
I was just going to say, the girls are involved in 4-H, and, it would be super exciting because I know that becomes an issue with the shooting aspect of 4-H and their groups to find places and for the kids to do their events. So that's super cool, Patrick.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So.
Okay, well, thank you, Wendy. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, have a blessed day, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And a lot of people talk about this is my range, and I, it sounds kind of funny, my range, even though I have done all the work and I have purchased it, but I don't really look at it as my range. I look at it as the High Plains Shooting Sports Center. Mm-hmm. It's here for Shasta County. I'm essentially doing what the city and the county should have done.
Yeah.
So I don't really look at it as mine. I probably never will. I'm only here for a little while on this earth, and the next generation is what I'm looking for. And I will eventually set this up in a nonprofit, and it'll hopefully run in perpetuity.
Okay.
And that nonprofit will own this piece of property outright, which is very important because you have to control your destiny. And I really believe this is the place that we can do it for a long, long period in the future. And so, it still sounds funny, kind of funny as my range or our range. It's really for the public, is what it's for.
Well, see, that's the generous part about what you're doing is that you're setting it up for others in the future, and it's not just going to be yours. Yes, you're the person who is making sure everything gets done. You're the one who spent all the money. You're jumping through all the darn hoops. You're fighting tooth and nail to keep it going and get it going.
Well, and when we have competitions and whatnot, I'm still going to beat you, mind you.
doubt.
I'm still competitive. I want to win.
Of course you do. Yes.
But what I've noticed in my years of shooting tournaments, what I saw was age, gender is not a factor. I've been beaten by 10-year-olds. I've been beat by 84-year-old women. I've been beat by every type of person that you can imagine. Tall, short, fat, skinny, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's all in your mind.
Yeah.
And you're practicing up to that point and being ready to compete. And you could look at 10 people and not tell who's the champion out of those 10 people. It's all in your mind, and having a quality place to shoot is how you get there.
Right.
It's the training that's before gets you prepared for whatever tournament that you're going to. And that's what I've seen in the past, like in Lincoln, California at Coon Creek. There was a young man there. I started shooting there when he was 8 years old. He quickly became a state champion, a regional champion at the age of 12, and then the Olympic committee was eyeballing him pretty heavily. And he could have gone on. I don't think he did, but he had the ability.
Wow.
Because he had a good facility nearby him. that was reasonable, affordable, and it had hours to accommodate most people's schedule. And that's the kind of potential that I see here.
So we have talent out there that we don't know about yet.
Right. And when I saw Matt when he was 8 years old, you know, he was a normal 8-year-old kid. His shotgun was taller than he was. And,
wow.
and we have that potential here in Shasta County, I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. We have one of the highest firearm ownerships in this county of anywhere. And these youngsters need a place to shoot safely. Mm-hmm. And regularly and get their skills. And I think easily we could have champions here without question. I know it. I already have organizations like IPSC, IDPA, ATA, PITA, all wanting to do events here. And a lot of those would be youth-oriented, but adults as well. And we'll spread them out throughout the year and, you know, really look forward to it.
Okay, so then the structure that you mentioned earlier, is it going to have, like, classrooms in it and so
yes.
forth? And it'll have maybe a big hall where you can gather people to just to introduce them and then split them off into classes and so forth? And do
correct.
All that?
Okay. Yeah, there'll be a building where we'll have classrooms and the ability to have a small pro shop for incidentals.
Okay.
And we should be able also there to sell ammunition, which can be a very helpful thing to be able to sell ammo on site and to do it cheaply.
Okay.
I think that's going to be very big in the future. Guns no good if you don't have any ammo.
Oh, absolutely. So then are you still going to you're still going to do the repairs and whatnot of everything at Jones's Fort? That's totally separate.
Yeah,
totally separate.
It's totally separate. Yeah, the range is just that, a range.
And it's not gonna affect.
Yeah, we're not
Jones
gonna be
Fort.
Selling firearms and things like that there.
Okay.
It's ammunition because that is used there, mm-hmm. So that's the one thing that I see there that should be sold, that would be sold, and then it'll be in secure facility so that theft isn't an issue. And of course, we'll have a 24-hour caretaker. There'll be a person there all the time.
Okay.
And, you know, out there on the plains, if anybody ever known the plains, particularly that corner, theft is a constant problem. In fact, I encourage people to Google Earth that portion of the Millville Plains and take a look at you know, a mile away, mile and a half away from this facility, some of the unpermitted residences
okay.
that are out there, and the pictures will speak volumes.
What's the name of the road this is going to be on?
So you go down Dersh,
yeah.
And you turn left on Leopard, which it's a left only.
Okay.
If you reach the Bear Creek Bridge, you've gone a half mile too far if
okay.
you're heading east.
Okay.
And then you're going to go a half mile into the Millville Plains, and then it begins there.
Okay, so it's going to be a half mile road that you have to pave?
Correct.
Okay, so your neighbors along that road are going to have to appreciate having a paved road, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and if they would like to contribute to the pavement process,
well,
I would encourage that. But, yeah, that's a $130,000 process, and I'll be paying for that too.
Okay. All right. Well, and then you get to your gate, and then you're going to have a lockup. And everything will be good to go. It'll be secure gating and all that.
Yeah, the whole property will be secure when it's obviously not in use, and the gate will be open when it is. And, you know, and we'll have posted hours and try to have very steady hours so people, you know, can know. And obviously, you know, on very high fire risk days, the club will be or the range will be shut down for high fire risk. And so that is a concern. In Northern California, we will adhere to all of that.
Okay. Well, I know a place where you can get some fire suppression equipment if you need to. That's portable, mobile, and it can actually be installed into the structures too. So I have a link to that if you want.
And again, encourage people. 1450 Court Street next Tuesday. Show up at 5 o'clock and speak to this if you like, or just come and watch, and we can see 150 people there, and it's pretty much all that's going to be on this night meeting.
Okay.
And we had scheduled this meeting a month or so before, but it had to be delayed, and so now this seems like a good a topic to put on the night meeting.
Okay. Now, I know you have other things going on. You're running your campaign for District 4 because that your time has come to rerun. Now you're going to be having a fundraiser here pretty soon?
Yeah, and so we have the CRPA fundraiser first, but then right after that, theirs will be on the Thursday the 9th, right?
Ninth, yep.
And then mine will be Saturday the 18th at the Anderson VFW Hall, and doors will open at 4. We're going to have Rockin' Pete's doing the barbecue, so mm-hmm. we're looking forward to that. Lots of great items and, of course, lots of guns. That's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
and raise a little money for my campaign, which is kicking off now. And very appreciative, very humbled by all the support. We've had quite a few battles this year. This board, I'm very proud of the board and the work that they've done. It's a good conservative board, which I like. Mm-hmm. And they've worked hard for conservative issues and ideas, and working hard, trying to save money, trying to have fair elections, all the things, you know, there's never a shortage of issues, and we'll continue to work like this for years to come, and but we do have to get reelected. So November 18th, and for ticket information, you can come to Jones's Ford or give me a call, 530-222-3223.
Okay, perfect.
And I want to give a quick shout-out.
Yeah,
okay, so
yeah.
I want to give a shout-out to my husband, Patrick Jones, and to everybody in this room, and as well as Supervisor Chris Kellstrom. We had a very successful event last night. It was the Justice Crab Feed.
Yes.
It was one of their first, and we hopped on board to support and do a live auction for them. What a great group of people. So now it's actually the Hard Places community is one of them, and then Justice 180. We raised money last night to help get some of those trafficked kids back home. I don't want to cry.
Yes.
But so I just want to give a shout out to everybody that helped last night. Very super, super successful fundraiser.
I was at the Civic, over 1,000 people. We raised well over $100,000. We'll be able to help a lot of kids.
That's right. All right, well, thank you for mentioning that. I'm glad you brought that up. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great time had by all.
And thank you, Wynn. You were an awesome help as well.
No, my pleasure. All right, well, the time has come for us to shut down for Sunday. So, Patrick, Lori, Katie, thank you all for being here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Katie.
Time has come.
For 51.
Amen.
Tell us what to do. We don't know you or what you face. It's time to start.
KCNR, Chasse Redding.
Full Center.